Till LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
The Chinese are continuing to press the case that we are involved in the assault on their consulate.
Have they managed to find evidence beyond the surveillance video of me?
No, and we have to make sure they don't.
You are part of the covert team that mounted the assault on our consulate. If you're not going to tell us who is ultimately responsible, that leaves you.
A missile launches into the air.
Stealth, we can't track it by radar.
Those missiles travel at a speed of 600 miles an hour, which means it could hit a target on either coast in under 3 hours.
That's assuming it's headed for the coast. If it's not, it could hit its target at any time.
What is CTU going to do now to find the missile?
At this point, CTU no longer has any reasonable expectation of finding the missile before it reaches its target.
I gave you the responsibility to stop this. You failed me, David. And you failed your country.
Drop the gun! It's over!
Do it, Jack.
Do you really have what it takes to let me kill him while you're looking him in the eye?
Yeah.
Funny.
Curtis surprises the woman, and Jack grabs her by the throat.
I have the power to give you a deal signed by the President of the United States. In exchange, you can help me find Mark 1 and stop this warhead from hitting his target.
Show me the deal.
The following takes place between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m.
Jack in the basement garage of the apartment complex.
Phil, this is Jack. Has the President signed the pardon yet?
Any minute now. I don't like that we're cutting this woman a deal, Jack. We can't verify she's telling the truth until it's too late.
Well, we don't have a choice. Right now, she's the only person who can lead us to Mar 1, and Mar 1's controlling the missile.
Has the Attorney General reviewed this immunity agreement?
Yes, sir. We should be getting his final approval any minute now.
Mr. President, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's something you might want to see. It may affect the immunity agreement.
What is it, Aaron?
The woman you're about to pardon, I'm pretty certain you've met her before.
Explain.
May I?
Absolutely.
On the right is the hostile we have in custody. On the left is news footage from 4.5 years ago in Los Angeles. Moments before the attempt on your life.
Palmer compares the two matching images on a large screen.
You're telling me the woman we're about to cut a deal with tried to assassinate me?
Yes, sir.
Novick, the agreement is in order, sir.
All right, thank you. Mr. President, the Attorney General says the immunity agreement is in order. Ready to be signed.
If I read this document right, it grants immunity not only for what this woman has done today, but for any crime she's ever committed in the past.
That is correct, sir.
Palmer massages his scarred hand as he contemplates the dark-haired woman's freeze-frame newsreel image.
Sign it.
Jack to the captured woman.
We're trying to get you the deal. But we will pull it if the missile hits first.
I will talk when my representatives confirm my immunity. Not before.
Manning.
This is Todd Richards. Let me speak to my client.
Yeah, just right here.
I'm listening.
I've just seen the document signed by the President.
And is the paperwork in order?
Yes, they granted you total immunity.
Good.
Where's Mar 1?
The Global Center. A helicopter is waiting for him on the roof that will be taking him to a ship.
He flies low enough. He'll evade radar. When's he leaving?
Now.
Get the chopper ready.
Up for its manning. Have the chopper ready.
She stays here until we verify this.
Yes, sir.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Kim Raver as Audrey Raines, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, Rika Wellsworth as Michelle Dessler, and Arnold Vosloo as Habib Marwan. Credited as Joel Sano and Robert Cochran, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency.
Capturing Marwan alive is our only chance of stopping this warhead from hitting its target. We are not to use lethal force, even in self-defense. Am I clear?
Got it.
Jack, Curtis, and one other climb aboard a waiting chopper.
Go!
The rotors whir at their maximum, and the helicopter lifts from the ground, its searchlight tearing through the night sky. Meanwhile, Marwan and his pilot arrive at the helipad on the roof of the Global Center. Impatiently, Marwan tries to contact the missing woman.
She's not answering her phone. She should have been here already.
She said she was delayed.
We're not waiting.
6:05. The pilot removes the safety harness from the rotors and stows it away in a side compartment. Marwan mulls over his options.
How long before we get to the ship in international waters?
10 minutes.
Something's wrong.
Marwan decides to abandon her and without a second thought climbs aboard the helicopter. The pilot joins him and soon the rotor blades begin to gather speed. Above them, hidden in the night sky, Jack approaches the illuminated Global Center in a CTU helicopter.
Roger, Los Angeles there. We need to keep this frequency clear. You copy?
Anchorage, Jack! We're almost there! Have you got confirmation on the target?
We just repositioned the satellite. The images are coming through now.
Edgar zooms into an on-screen satellite image of the city.
There, on top of the Global Center. I see a chopper.
Southeast corner.
Copy that! I want you to take a southeast approach. Stay below the building.
Yes, sir.
As they dive out of sight, Marwan checks on the missile using a digital tracking device.
The missile's still on target. Gotta get out of here.
Just a few minutes until we're up to speed.
Now, roger that. We have visual on the building approaching northwest.
Copy that.
Okay, come up over the building now!
Yes, sir.
The CTU helicopter swoops over the roof of the building and bears down on a surprised Marwan.
Don't let him take off! Stay above him!
Go! Go!
He's right on top of me!
Trapped beneath a downdraft of the CTU helicopter, Jack attempts to disable Marwan's chopper by firing at the engine. Smoke billows from Marwan's helicopter, caught in the glare of a CTU search beam.
Put me in a position to fail!
6:08. Marwan throws the digital device onto the floor of the stricken chopper and shields his face with his arm as he shoots it into pieces. Meanwhile, Jack, Curtis, and the other agent leap from the CTU helicopter and land on the roof of the building. Marwan makes his escape and runs towards some stairs with an automatic weapon, pursued by Jack, who momentarily loses sight of him in the smoke.
There he is.
The three agents hurry across the roof, firing at the escaping hostiles. In the firefight, Jack shoots Marwan's pilot, while Marwan disappears down yet more concrete stairs.
I got you, Coach.
Jack cautiously leads the team down a dimly lit stairwell. As he passes the next level below, he suddenly hears a noise. And the three agents investigate. Marwan hides in the shadows behind a concrete pillar in a high-level car park. The three agents fan out and slowly approach Marwan's position. Marwan suddenly opens fire and shoots the third agent down. Curtis tries to drag him to safety and in the process is hit in the arm by a bullet. While Marwan is distracted, Jack tries to work his way around some parked cars towards him. Marwan bolts away, hides behind a car parked at the far end of the car park and takes the opportunity to reload with a new magazine clip. Jack crawls onto the concrete floor and peers from behind the rear wheel of a car. As Marwan emerges to spray covering fire, Jack shoots him in the ankle with devastating accuracy. Ah! 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 Marwan drags himself out of the firing line. As Jack closes in, Marwan makes a desperate attempt to crawl like a crab towards the low-lying wall of the car park. Seeing his intent, Jack rushes forward to stop him and just manages to grab hold of Marwan's arm as he dives over the edge. Caught in the intensity of the helicopter searchlight, Jack struggles to hold him as Marwan dangles above the street below.
Tell me where the missile is! Tell me where it is!
As Marwan's weight begins to stretch Jack's strength to the limit, he hugs the metal safety rail in gritty determination. The helicopter looks on, powerless to assist.
Tell me where it is!
Marwan slices Jack's hand with a knife, and Jack loses his grip. Jack looks down in dismay from the brightly lit safety rail of the car park. As blood seeps onto the sidewalk from Marwan's broken body, dozens of stories below. End of part one. 6:15. Logan to Palmer.
I don't understand. Bauer had orders to take Marwan alive.
I'm sure Jack did whatever he could.
That's not good enough, David.
CTU is searching Marwan's helicopter, trying to find something that will help them locate the missile.
We're out of time.
Not yet.
Mr. President, I'm sorry to add to an already difficult situation, but the acting Chinese consul Su Ming is on teleconference. He says it's urgent.
Through.
Gentlemen, as we discussed earlier, our consulate in Los Angeles was attacked 3 hours ago. A Chinese citizen was abducted, and our consul killed.
We've already given you our assurance that we had no knowledge of this reprehensible attack.
Which is strange, since one of your agents has confessed his direct involvement and implicated his superior as well.
What are you talking about?
My name is Howard Byrne. I'm a federal agent with the counter-terrorist unit in Los Angeles. Speaking of my own free will, under no duress. I participated in an unlawful assault on the Chinese consulate in Los Angeles. I was acting under the orders of special advisor to the Secretary of Defense, Jack Bauer.
Mr. Byrne provided details which leave no doubt that he is telling the truth. The full tape will be forwarded to you immediately.
Putting aside the question of how this so-called confession was obtained, what does your government expect us to do?
Mr. Bauer committed a crime at our consulate, which is Chinese territory. If he was acting without your approval, he should be turned over to our government to be tried and sentenced according to our laws.
Mr. Su, we'll get back to you. Damn it, David, you said this would be handled.
I'm sure the Chinese don't want war.
No, but they do want to embarrass us. Take the moral high ground in the court of world opinion. Oh, we need to take the least damaging course of action.
Unfortunately, then there's only one option.
Which is?
We hand Bauer over to the Chinese.
Unacceptable.
Now, besides, if we turn him over, he'll implicate this administration. The Chinese made Byrne talk. They'll do the same with Bauer eventually.
Jack Bauer would never compromise national security.
As much as I'd like to believe that, everyone breaks.
What you believe is irrelevant.
Chief Security Advisor Walt Cummings approaches Logan with a shifty look in his eye.
There is another option, Mr. President.
Go on.
Suppose something happens to Bauer. Suppose he has an accident.
That's an obscene suggestion.
It solves a lot of problems.
Mr. President.
Logan raises his finger.
This administration does not condone murder. And it never will. Is that clear?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
6:19. Jack rejoins Curtis beside Marwan's helicopter on the roof of the Global Center as a nurse attends to Curtis's wounded arm.
Did you find anything on Marwan's body?
We're still looking. You okay?
It'll be a lot better once we take this missile down.
Sir, we might have found something in here.
What is it?
It's been shot up pretty badly, but one of the drive platforms is intact. It's some kind of tracking or navigation program with a GPS node. Adams is uplinking whatever's left to CTU.
Okay, thanks.
Buchanan.
Bill, it's Jack. Forensics found something. They sent it over.
Chloe's got it. She and Edgar are trying to download the interface.
Put her on.
I'll put you on speaker. You're on, Jack.
Chloe, have you got anything on that program?
Nothing yet. Give us a second, Jack.
A solid block of data scrolls down Edgar's screen.
It's totally random. I can't make any sense of it.
Maybe try a correlation matrix.
What's that gonna do?
Just do it, Edgar.
A program scans the data to no effect.
I told you it wasn't gonna work.
It's because you didn't expand the parameter. See?
What have you got?
Two parallel columns, but the data points are badly damaged.
What do you mean, parallel columns?
It could be a flight path. I'll try plotting them over the USGS map. It's working.
That's a flight path that's headed due west over Nevada. It's Los Angeles. It's gotta be. It's coming towards Los Angeles.
Chloe, run a time analysis.
Assuming the missile travels at 600 miles per hour, it puts it within this 30-mile segment.
We'll get those coordinates to the Air Force.
Clark.
Captain Clark, Bill Buchanan, CTU. The missile's heading for Los Angeles. We've narrowed the possible coordinates. We're uploading them to you now.
Squad's in the air, sir.
Okay, thanks. They have planes ready in the air now. If our projections are correct, they should be able to find it quickly.
They better, since the casualty figures of an L.A. airstrike would be over a million lives lost, including ours.
Put the military channel on the speaker.
Yes, sir.
Delta 1 approaching designated sector.
Roger that, Delta 1. Still no joy target. Searching.
6:21. An F-18 patrols the night sky over Los Angeles.
Jack, if the missile gets shot down, could the warhead detonate?
No, the warhead is specifically designed not to blow up until it hits its designated target.
But the force of the impact could trigger the armament mechanism, right?
It's unlikely.
But it is possible, right, Jack?
Yes, it's possible, but we don't have a choice. We're out of time here.
Jack watches the F-18 fly past the Global Center towards the missile's probable location.
Delta 2, this is Playcom. We have a contact at 3846 degrees north, bearing 120. Respond?
Closing in on those coordinates. Possible contact, breaking left.
The pilot identifies a contact on his radar screen.
Delta 1, I've got Cali on the target. 12 o'clock.
Missile check's good.
I'm armed.
Delta 2, clear to lock on target.
Target acquired. Good lock. Repeat. Good lock.
Delta 2's in range. Requesting clearance to engage.
Delta 2, target confirmed. Clear to engage.
I've got good tone. Box 2, missile away.
The pilot releases an air-to-air missile, and it rockets towards the incoming warhead. From the roof, Jack and Curtis see an explosion in the night sky.
Splash 1, that's a direct hit, Delta 1. Target is down. I repeat, the target is down. Yes.
Yeah. 6:27. An analyst reports to Michelle.
Nuclear radiation was emitted when the missile was destroyed. Debris hit the ground, and there was some damage and several injuries. No loss of life as far as we'll pick this up later.
Michelle sees Tony arrive back at CTU, and as he limps towards her, she dives into his deep embrace.
When they told me you were dead,
they kiss.
Oh, I love you. I didn't realize how much until I thought I lost you.
What is it?
When that woman called and she told me that...
Hey, you did what you had to do.
But I didn't do what you did. You chose me and I chose...
Look, we did the best we could, all right? No, it's over.
A deep, passionate kiss becomes an intense, longing embrace. Meanwhile, Audrey stands beside Paul's body bag.
Did you get the information that I sent you? Mm-hmm.
Do you know yet? No, commercial flights are still grounded. I'm trying to get Paul back on a military transport.
Please let me know if there's anything I can do for you.
I haven't taken care of his funeral arrangements yet. I still need to call his mother.
Oh, she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Well, just let the staff know when your plane arrives.
She sees Jack through the glass partition.
Listen, I'm gonna have to get back to you. There's something that I need to deal with.
6:29. Audrey approaches an apprehensive Jack.
Hey.
They stand opposite each other, neither quite knowing what to say. Jack avoids her watery eyes for a moment of painful soul-searching, before finally breaking the silence.
Your father said you're going to Washington tomorrow.
Yeah, I have to take care of Paul's funeral.
Yeah. And after that... I'm sorry, I know this isn't the right time to talk about everything. Maybe tomorrow before you catch your flight, we could get together.
Jack, I don't think that's a good idea.
I thought we agreed that we wouldn't make those kinds of decisions today.
I know, but it just...
Audrey. I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. That's all I want.
We both know that you belong here, Jack. At CTU. Doing what you do best. And thank God there are people like you who can deal with that world.
She rests her forehead on his and strokes his face with her hands.
But I can't.
Please don't say that.
Jack. Oh, Jack. I love you. But after today, it's just... It won't work.
She kisses him goodbye.
I'm sorry.
A saddened Jack watches passively as she tearfully walks away.
This is Bauer.
Jack. David Palmer.
Yes, Mr. President.
Words cannot express the debt this country owes you.
Thank you, sir.
Jack, this is hard for me. But I don't seem to have a choice. The Chinese have proof that you led the assault on their consulate.
What kind of proof?
Howard Byrne made a full confession. He identified you as the agent in charge.
And now the Chinese won't be.
That's right. And we have no choice but to comply.
I see.
But what they really want is for you to implicate the government.
Mr. President, that will never happen.
I know that. They'll put you on trial, propagandize about American arrogance, and put you in prison.
I understand.
Jack, this is unfair to say the least. And I'm ashamed of my part in it. But I promise you this. I will make it my life's purpose to bring you back to American soil as soon as humanly possible.
I know you'll do what you can, sir.
Secret Service is sending over an agent to CTU. He'll place you under house arrest. But you'll have some time to put your affairs in order. Jack, my friend, I wish there was something else I could say.
Mr. President, you're doing what has to be done. So will I.
I know you will. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, sir.
6:33. Walt Cummings to Secret Service Agent Dale Spaulding.
This is a messy situation. Even if
if Bauer doesn't implicate the president in the attack on the consulate?
There are other problems. Bauer's special advisor to the Secretary of Defense, which makes him a high-value prisoner and a goldmine of information. Chinese could squeeze him dry.
You're right.
Plus, the Chinese could share the information with any intelligence agency in the world. Eventually, what they get out of Bauer could find its way into the hands of terrorists. And this could set us back years.
So the bottom line is...
Oh, I don't think you need me to spell that out for you.
I assume this isn't coming from President Logan.
Absolutely not. He's expressly forbidden it. But that doesn't mean he'd be sorry if it happened.
So any investigation into Bauer's death...
will be brief and superficial. I'll see to it personally.
Fine. I'll take care of it.
Good.
Cummings' phone conversation is overheard by Mike Novick. :34 End of part 2. Part 3. 6:39 Palmer to Novick.
The president ordered Jack be extradited, not murdered.
Cummings wants Bauer dead so the Chinese can't question him.
President Logan shut him down. We were both there.
It was a weak rebuke at best.
This is still conjecture on your part based on one side of a conversation.
I know what I heard, and I know Cummings. You don't.
Really think he's capable of doing something like this?
He's been doing Logan's dirty work for the last 15 years. Logan's gotten used to looking the other way.
I tell the president myself, but he won't listen to me. If you don't intervene now, it may be too late.
An aide to Logan in his office.
And the prime minister is offering to host a conference in London for improving the flow of intelligence information among nations.
Tell him I accept his gracious offer.
Maybe you should tell him yourself, sir. I think he wants to congratulate you personally for steering the country so effectively in its time of crisis.
Set up a call.
Yes, sir.
Logan happily beckons Palmer into his office.
David. I have been overwhelmed by the outpouring of goodwill from heads of state around the world.
Well deserved, Mr. President.
You played a role, David. You played a role.
Thank you, sir.
So, what can I do for you?
Would you excuse us? I'd like a moment alone with the president.
Yes, sir.
Logan sends the aides out of his office.
Sir, I have reason to believe that your security chief may be preempting your decision to hand Jack Bauer over to the Chinese.
Preempting me how?
By killing him before they can take custody.
Oh, for God's sake, David. Cummings was just speaking hypothetically. You can't take that at face value. Besides which, I told him it wasn't an option.
All I'm asking you to do, sir, is to talk to Cummings and make sure he understands your order.
David, I can't indulge some half-baked conspiracy.
I think I've earned the privilege of having my concerns taken seriously.
You have. But it's also no secret that your presidency was infected with a certain level of paranoia and scandal. I won't allow that in my administration. Questioning my security chief would not only undermine his authority, it would compromise mine as well.
Hear no evil.
I beg your pardon?
You heard me.
Logan flexes his regenerating political muscle.
David, thank you again for your assistance today, but it's time for you to go back to civilian life. And let me do my job.
6:42. Dismissed from the corridors of power, former President Palmer reluctantly walks away from the presidential office. At the door, he turns to take one last look at the fledgling president as Logan settles smugly into the daily routine of his post-crisis desk. Meanwhile, Jack joins Tony in the after-the-storm calm of the locker room, his injured hand bandaged and still smarting from Marwan's knife wound.
Oh,
Jack turns the dial of his combination lock and quietly opens his locker.
I just found out that Logan's gonna make you take the fall for everything that happened to the Chinese consulate.
No one's making me do anything. The president didn't have a choice.
Yeah, well, that doesn't make it fair, does it?
It is what it is. Ms. Bauer?
Jack, are you still at CTU?
Yes, sir. Tony Almeida's just about to debrief me.
Listen to me very carefully. Do not turn yourself in. The man they sent to take you into custody has orders to kill you.
Orders from who?
Someone in Logan's camp. They think the Chinese will break you.
Logan authorizes?
Not directly, but he won't do anything to stop it. Now listen to me. Get out of there now.
Thank you, sir.
Jack pauses for thought. Smiles to himself and looks across to Tony, still changing back into his own clothes after his ordeal with a dark-haired woman. 6:44. Chloe shows Agent Spaulding, a big-framed bruiser of a man, into the Situation Room. Buchanan joins him and formally introduces himself.
Bill Buchanan, Regional Director of Division, Los Angeles.
Dale Spaulding, Secret Service. You'll have to sign this before I take power.
What is it?
Chain of custody authorization.
I'm not signing anything till Bauer's been debriefed. When that happens, he's all yours.
Fair enough.
We'd be burying a million Americans right now if it wasn't for Jack Bauer. He's a hero.
I'm sure he is. I'm just following orders.
I want him treated with the respect he deserves.
Of course.
In the confusion, Chloe suddenly appears in the doorway.
Tony's on line one, says it's urgent, something to do with Jack.
Buchanan.
Bill, it's Tony. Jack escaped.
Escaped?
He took me by surprise. There was nothing I could do.
Damn it.
Look, he's still inside the building somewhere in Section C. I'm the one who ordered the lockdown.
I'll be right there.
All right.
Bauer's trying to get away.
Michelle briefs the others in the surveillance room.
Jack disabled the surveillance feed a minute ago.
Were you able to make visual contact before that?
Yes, he's still in Section C.
Jack was willing to turn himself over to the Chinese. What happened?
I can't say for sure, but he did get a phone call.
Who from?
I don't know. I was waiting for him to finish up. Next thing I know, I'm on the ground. He cold-cocked me.
Does Bauer have a weapon?
Yeah.
How many entrances and exits?
Four. They're all blocked off.
I'll try to punch through.
Yeah, but I have two guards posted at each point.
I'm not taking any chances.
What are you doing?
Going after him.
Wait a second.
I've got orders to take Jack Bauer into custody. I intend to execute those orders.
This building is my jurisdiction.
You lost jurisdiction when you lost Bauer. If you want me to stand down, call the president. Otherwise, stay out of my way.
And I'm going with you.
No, you're not. I'm doing this alone.
Either you take Tony or you're not going in.
Follow me.
Tony and Buchanan exchange sour glances as Tony follows Agent Spaulding out of the room. Michelle looks on with mounting concern. 6:51. The two agents enter a gloomy generator room deep in the bowels of the building.
Jack? It's Tony. Are you in here?
Jack pins them down and runs.
Come on, let's talk. It doesn't have to go down like this.
Tony and Spaulding work their way around rows of metal pillars.
Jack? Give it up!
Tony grabs hold of Spaulding's shooting hand, but is easily overpowered.
Stay out of my way.
That's it. This is over. I'm gonna go bring Jack out. You wanna stop me? You can shoot me in the back. Jack, I'm putting my weapon down. I'm coming in.
His arms raised, Tony walks slowly towards Jack's last known position. Spaulding follows with his gun.
Jack?
Tony rushes forward to check for a pulse, as Jack's bleeding body lies stretched out on the concrete floor. A shocked-looking Spalding moves in cautiously, fingers Jack's carotid artery for a pulse, and convinces himself that there's none to be found. Tony throws him a murderous look.
You killed him.
He was shooting at us.
He was aiming wide. He was laying down cover fire. If he wanted to hit us, he'd have hit us.
Others arrive.
Oh my God, Jack.
You killed him, you son of a bitch! You killed him!
Get him out of here!
Come on. Take him to the Situation Room.
Spalding is forcibly removed from the room. Buchanan to a distraught Tony. Distressed, yet always sensitive to others' needs, Buchanan leaves Tony, Chloe, and Michelle to mourn over Jack's bleeding body. They stare at their former friend in pained disbelief. But as soon as the door closes behind him, everything changes.
Give me the epinephrine.
Michelle reveals a prepared syringe.
I hope it's not too late. He really looks dead.
That was the idea, Chloe.
Tony quickly injects the hypodermic into Jack's lifeless artery.
How fast is it supposed to take effect?
Tony searches in vain for signs of a pulse.
Come on, Jack.
He frantically pumps at Jack's chest.
Come on, man. Come on, Jack, damn it! Hey, can you hear me? You know where you are?
Yeah.
All right, Chloe, I need you to run interference with the local coroner until we can switch bodies. Make sure their database syncs up with Jack's information.
That won't cover the autopsy.
There's not gonna be an autopsy. They wanted Jack dead, now he's dead.
Restored to life, Tony and Michelle help Jack to his feet. End of part three. Part four.
Bill. I just talked to my father. He said that Jack was being handed over to the Chinese government.
He was supposed to be. But he tried to escape.
I don't understand.
Neither do I.
No. No, don't say it. No.
I'm sorry.
She stops, frozen in her tracks, as tears pour uncontrollably from her weary eyes. She collapses onto the wall for support. And as she tries in vain to bear her double loss, the forgotten contents of her file spill meaninglessly onto the floor. Meanwhile, Iragian President Logan takes the world's praise in his stride. A regal Palmer walks with dignity back to everyday life. And in the dawn's early light, a little-noticed Mercedes drives out to the CTU car park with Tony and Michelle sitting in the front.
All right, we're clear.
Are you sure you're okay, Jack?
Yeah, I'm fine. You both need to get back to CTU before anyone gets suspicious. Tony, you can drop me off anywhere up there. All right.
We've secured you a new identity. Should help you get across the border.
Okay. Did you get me a clean phone?
Yeah. It has a scramble filter. You can talk up to 1 minute undetected.
The car comes to a rest in a quiet rail yard. Facing the inevitable, everyone looks away.
I can't thank you both enough for everything.
Tony is downcast and silent.
You gotta get going.
Jack opens the car door, shoulders his bag, and begins to walk away.
Jack.
He steps up to Tony's open window.
Be careful.
Yeah. You too. Thank you both for everything.
The two friends shake hands and part forever. Tony heaves a great sigh of unspoken emotion, looks across to his beloved Michelle, and sadly turns the key in the ignition. In a moment, they're gone, leaving Jack by himself, hiding like a fugitive behind a stack of wooden pallets. He takes out Michelle's encrypted phone and calls David Palmer, still in the vestibule of the White House.
Palmer.
Mr. President, it's Jack Bauer.
You threaded the eye of the needle.
I had some help, sir. I wanted to thank you for advising me of this situation. Mr. President, you saved my life.
I'm only sorry it came to this.
Me too, sir. I just want to let you know that I was out.
I'm glad. This is probably the last time we'll ever speak. Jack, you do understand when you hang up, for all intents and purposes, Jack Bauer's dead.
I understand that, sir. Mr. President, it's been an honor.
Same for me, my friend.
He snaps the phone shut, and with one swift action severs his last remaining tie to the man they knew as Jack Bauer. He emerges anew from the woodstack and breathes in the fresh morning air with its bright golden sunrise. He slips on a pair of anonymous sunglasses, glances behind him for one lingering moment, and like a forgotten hero from the Old West, walks resolutely on towards the glorious unknown. The end.